Welcome to the Back in Time podcast with Kyle and JD, where every week we jump into our DeLorean, cruise to 88 miles per hour, and travel back in time to review our favorite films. Every week we talk about current cinema, the latest trailers, and we pick a new favorite film every single episode.
But I need a nuclear reaction to generate the 1.21 gigawatts of electricity.
1.21 gigawatts!
Don't say that! Never say that! Goonies never say die!
You're the best! We're the beautiful! We're the only!
Now, here's your host, Kyle Autry, and his co-host, JD.
All right, welcome to the teaser trailer episode. This week we discuss the 1984 film Karate Kid. This is Kyle Autry, and I am joined, as always, by my co-host, JD. JD, how you doing today?
I can't think of anything funny, so I'm not going to say anything, but I am a big fan of trigonometry, so we can go a serious route if you want.
Go for it, man.
No, I don't know what trigonometry is.
Oh, okay.
Are you kidding? Are you kidding me, man?
Yeah, our math has never been good on this, so when you said trigonometry, I kind of didn't believe you, but then I was like, hey, let's see what he's got.
Do you remember how many times I was ineligible in college? Come on.
So I want to thank you guys, first off, for just clicking the download button on today's podcast. Please remember to rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts. That will help us grow and gain new listeners. JD, since we have the DeLorean, let's jump back to last week. And we discussed A Nightmare on Elm Street with the guys from Black Cat Shadow. What kind of feedback did you get on the episode?
Yeah, big shout out to Black Cat Shadow for joining us. You guys, they were amazing. For anyone who hasn't had a chance to check out their podcast, please do. But I mean, nothing but love for our first foursome. I think people were definitely happy to hear four males talking in a room about a horror movie from the 80s.
Yeah.
That's kind of the American dream.
Absolutely. No, it was a fun time, and I definitely want to give a shout out to Dave and Andy. I thought they did a great job. If you guys are listeners of ours, make sure you go over to their podcast, because we're also on their show this week breaking down the review for Nightmare on Elm Street, Freddy's Revenge, Part 2. So get over there on iTunes and subscribe and hit the download button on that episode and take a listen. I thought we had a pretty fun discussion. It's definitely not as like detailed as ours. We don't go scene by scene, but I thought we had a fun time, and there were a lot of laughs and some things that we loved about the movie and some things that were just kind of goofy. So I still like your take, JD, on the pool scene.
Well, good. I've been saying that for years since I originally saw that movie. Like, hey, come on, Freddy, you're Freddy Krueger. You're the Dream Master. That's what you bring. That's your A game, flipping over a few chairs.
Throwing a guy over a grill, but not hurting him or even burning him.
Yeah, I mean, what? A few hot dogs get spilled. You can still eat. You can eat ground dogs.
Such a funny scene. JD, so what? You got any big plans this week? Let's just chit chat a little bit. I don't have a huge agenda today, so. What's going on with you, man?
No, I will be wearing pants quite often.
That's good.
I should probably get a haircut.
Getting a little shaggy up top?
Yeah, getting a little shaggy up top. You want me to grab the newspaper and we can go over today's articles, maybe the coupon section?
Well, yeah, if you could get a Great Clips, like $2 off, you'd be in good shape.
Are you a Great Clips, a Super Clips, Fantastic Sam, Sports Cuts? What's your haircut go-to?
Good question.
Normally, or is it Mrs. Autry?
No. Normally it is Great Clips because I like the price. But if I'm feeling a little, feeling a little frisky, I'll head over to Sports Clips and get myself the old towel and heat treatment.
And then the happy ending.
Double the cost, I mean, it's a happy ending for me because I get the massage. That's got to count for something.
Right. No, that's the definition of a happy ending. It's just a nice, joyful massage, right?
Yeah. People get your minds out of the gutter. What do you think he's talking about?
All right, good.
Well, coming in the cinema this week, we've got a couple new movies that I thought looked decent to talk about here. So we've got a new movie coming out on Friday called Game Night, starring Jason Bateman, Rachel McAdams, pretty awesome supporting cast too. They've got Kyle Chandler, Jesse Plemons, to name a few. Have you seen anything on this movie, like trailer, and do you have any interest in seeing it?
I just recently saw a trailer for it, and I had no idea what the movie was, and I thought it was Horrible Bosses Part 3 or some crap like that. But I definitely laughed. I thought it looked pretty good, like a nice, wholesome little bloody comedy.
Yeah, I like the fact that it's got that aspect of, like, you know, horror into it. Like, it's a comedy, but, you know, it's also going to be probably not funny at points when they're trying to get murdered. Yeah, I thought it looks good. I'm a huge Jason Bateman fan, though. All the way back to Teen Wolf 2, buddy.
One of the bests.
Yeah, so I think I'll be checking that out since I've got MoviePass. Why not? It's part of my monthly subscription. Damn you and your MoviePass. Yeah, you got to get on it, man. You got to get on it. I can resend you the link. If we got any listeners that want in on it, hit me up on our email, backintimepodcast@gmail.com. I'll send you a link to it. You can sign yourself right up. I think if you pay for the whole year, it's like $60, like, total for the whole year. It's like $6 a month.
And if there are any seventh graders that want some CDs of pornographic materials or cigarette butts, also email Kyle.
No. Nope, that's not happening. You know what? We also have another movie debuting this weekend called Annihilation, and it's starring Natalie Portman. Jeez, I don't want to call this Stranger Things the ripoff, but there were a lot of similarities in this trailer. Any interest in this film for you?
What level of linkage is there between this film and Mortal Kombat Annihilation? And the answer, hopefully, is every.
I mean, well, it'd probably have you a lot more excited if it did. But honestly, yeah, it looks like they're
trying to... It's under my radar.
Sorry, it looks like they're trying to recreate the Upside Down from Stranger Things. Like, that's kind of the plot of the movie. Yeah, so, I mean, that's it. We got a couple movies. Man, February's been a little disappointing at the theater, hasn't it?
Well, I think that we'll say that until Black Panther hits, and then we'll have a lot to say on that matter. The critic reviews are pretty stunning.
98% on Rotten Tomatoes so far. Just one bad review.
One bad review is not bad at all. I mean, all the good reviews are just shining examples of, you know, the level of filmmaking and acting that really went into that production. Did you know that Wesley Snipes tried to make a Black Panther movie back in the 90s?
Did he really?
And not to be confused with the Black Panthers, but no, it was a Black Panther. It's not Black Panther, Black Panther. Do you got it?
So he wanted to make a movie about the Black Panthers, but not Black Panther, the Marvel character?
No. About, okay. Black Panther, not Black Panther. Kyle, who's on first?
I have no idea right now. You've got my mind just spinning in circles here.
That's okay. I'll take the checkmate.
Okay, let's get into the trailer before we lose any more listeners there. So, JD, you know, this is the episode the fans voted for. How excited are you to finally discuss Karate Kid?
I'm excited because it kicks off what's a great trilogy, followed by an average follow-up, and then a horrible tank.
Yes. And we're going to talk more about that horrible tank in the box office numbers. So I've got some thoughts for you. What are the first memories of Karate Kid for you? Because this came out about a year before we were even born. What was your introductory to Karate Kid?
So I've got a very, very distinct set of, like, memories, you know, revolving around the first film. I think it was definitely one that I had picked up from the video store with my grandpa when I was young. And all that really sticks out to me is the Halloween dance part. That was my biggest memory from the movie for years. But, you know, I probably didn't see it till I was like 5 or 6. But yeah, I always wanted a skeleton costume.
Yeah, no, dude, the skeleton costumes were awesome. But I think the one thing that really stood out to me, or my memory, was that his, like, crane kick thing that he does at the end of the film. I can remember doing that on the playground thinking I was Karate Kid.
Yeah, I had to have been the same way, like, after, like, the second or third time I saw it, which was probably with, like, Aaron and Brian Liggett. Okay. Shout out to them if they're still alive.
What's up, Liggetts?
They were our lived in the alley behind us. And we used to always go watch movies with them. And then we'd always go play. Like, you played the movies when you were a kid. Like, why don't we do that as adults? Why don't we play, like, oh, let's go in the parking lot and play Black Panther? No, but as a kid, it was like, let's go play Karate Kid outside. I miss that. I want to bring that back. Let's start a petition.
Were you ever not the bully?
No, I was always the bully, thankfully.
Yeah, I figured. Okay. One of the things I'm remembering is I think I got into this movie after Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles came out. I think I saw this, got really excited. My dad's like, oh, you think that's cool? Let's watch this movie. And then he sat down and made me watch it on VHS. And then, boom, fall in love with Karate Kid. Probably right around 1990, 91 when it would have came out at Blockbuster. And pretty much hooked after that. Loved all the sequels, except for the Hillary Swank one in 94. That was a little bit of a letdown. But even though 2's not my favorite, I still watched it. It's definitely one in three for me are the main movies that I like in this four-film franchise.
So it's interesting that you say that about 2, because for those of you that didn't listen, we got into a conversation about sequels with Black Cat's Shadow. And, you know, we discussed how the sequels in movies tend to try to take like a more of a dynamic approach to the story. And that's exactly what the second film does in this franchise by uprooting Daniel and bringing him to Japan. Is it Japan?
Okinawa, Japan, I think.
So we have, you know, we've got a story that focuses on a high school winning the All Valley tournament, and the sequels, him as an international traveler. What is that?
It's like
such a big yammer.
It's like Jurassic Park without the park. What are you doing? You can't take him out of the high school. You can't take him out of karate tournaments. You dump him in Japan, and now he's got a love interest. Like, what happened to the last girl? What was wrong with her?
There was nothing wrong with her.
Let's get into the trailer. So if you're listening at home or at work and you have computer access here, let's jump on the YouTube and just type in the Karate Kid original trailer. All right, let's get into the trailer. So if you're listening at home or at work or you have computer access, go on the YouTube right now, type in the Karate Kid original trailer. And the trailer we're going to be watching was uploaded by Glows, and it has 499,000 views. And we will give a 3, 2, 1 countdown and hit the play button together. JD, you ready?
I got my gi strapped on. I got my headband tight. And I'm not going to scream hi-ya once.
All right. Awesome. Let's do it. 3, 2, 1, click.
This is it. This is the end of the line. Tell me.
For Daniel LaRusso,
is this the only pool you guys got?
The future seemed far from terrific.
This place is a dump. You should go back to New Jersey.
Hey, I know it's hard, but we're not quitters, are we?
Until he met the right girl.
She's beautiful. I say she's beautiful. I think she's beautiful.
Is that your address?
You got it.
But that only angered the wrong guy.
Definitely.
And his troubles really began. Then, in one man, he found a teacher.
I promise, teach karate.
And a friend.
Fighting always last answer. Power, whole body. Make a perfect picture.
How do I know if my picture's the right one?
If come from inside you, always right on. Lesson about the balance, not just karate, lesson for all life.
Why train?
So I won't have to fight.
Hey, Karate Kid, let's make a move.
No points or no points, you're dead meat.
I don't have much of a cheering section.
You got me.
In the end, it will be in Daniel's hands. His body. And most of all, in his mind.
Concentrate, focus, power. Remember, balance.
No mercy.
Columbia Pictures presents The Karate Kid.
Hey, what kind of belt do you have?
J.C. Penney, 398.
All right, JD, I'll let you go first. What'd you think of the trailer here?
It was such a great, typical, like, just a trailer from the 80s, the way that it set up, the way that it introduces the story. It shows you some of the comedy. Ralph Macchio actually has got some great acting chops for a kid actor here. Like, I don't remember him being like that fantastic in some of his lines. And then it ends iconically.
I love the ending.
What kind of belt you got, Mr. Miyagi? JCPenney, $3.98.
And that's the hilarious part of Pat Morita is he's really a comedic actor. That's what he was known for before Mr. Miyagi. Yeah, I thought the trailer was awesome. I love the music in the background. It's total 80s music. You got Daniel just literally just getting the crap kicked out of him for at least the first minute and 30 of the trailer. And it's only 2 minutes long. And then you can kind of see that he's going to rise up at the end and kind of face the bullies here. Which, I mean, I'm sure is like every kid that ever grew up with you always hoped they could do.
Hey, okay, that's not fair at all. I was bullied for quite a while when I was young.
When you were like six?
Nah, probably from between like 7 and like 14. Okay. And then I rose up and I overcame my bullies by just being bigger, stronger, and faster than them. Then they want to be your friends.
Okay. So what you're saying is there should have been like another movie with Daniel LaRusso like a couple years down the road, but now he's like kicking everybody's ass.
Yeah, that's very accurate. Okay. Once you overcome that stigma of being bullied and you got the power, then you kind of go overboard and you kick everyone's ass.
Obviously, we're kidding. We don't really condone people being bullies. We joke, but... You know, give me some feedback. What's your initial thought of Pat Morita here as Mr. Miyagi? Did you know him from anything else?
I didn't. Not, you know, when I saw this when I was younger by any means. But, you know, watching it now, like you say, like he's got a great range as, you know, a physical imposing character when it comes to the martial arts. What is it called? Stadium? Field? The square? I don't know.
I don't know what they call it either.
I don't know martial arts terms, but he does a great job when he's in his element there, but then he delivers one hell of a comedy line too.
Right. So, I mean, for those of you that don't remember his earlier career, he played Arnold in Happy Days for 8 seasons. So he's hilarious on that show, if you've ever gone back to watch it. And, I listened to an interview with him and he just said, he sat down and he could just felt like he knew the part and he sat down and the voice just came out because he normally has like a real, like almost like high pitched voice. It sounded like a totally normal guy. And they would sit down and this Miyagi voice just came right out of it. But yeah, I thought he looks great in this. Pretty cool young cast. Billy Zabka, or I'm sorry, William Zabka, who plays Johnny. And the other guy. How is the other kid in the trailer with the blonde hair? How is that just not Kiefer Sutherland?
maybe it is him uncredited, or maybe it's like an unknown brother.
I don't. Do you remember his name? I guess we'll figure that out as we're watching the movie. But I want to look it up and see like who this dude is. He has to be like a relative. I don't know.
The only other thing that I want to bring up about this trailer that like always bothered me about the movie is he just seems so Daniel, so much younger than everyone else. Like it feels like he's going to go off to middle school and then everyone else goes to high school for the rest of the day. Kind of like that TV show Smart Guy.
Okay.
And then especially the scene where they're all on their dirt bikes and he's just got his little bicycle. Like it just always seems like so oddly matched.
Yeah. Yeah, that's funny. It kind of reminds me of the scene with Brand from the Goonies when he's riding the little girl's bike down the road and then the guy pulls up in his car and then he throws him like off the cliff.
Dead. Hilarious. The Monster Squad did the same thing.
Yeah, they sure did. It must have been like an 80s thing. Like, let's have the bully pull up. We'll put him on like a ridiculous looking bike and then we'll just have him fall. It seemed to work. You know what's funny, though, about that comment you made? Ralph Macchio is actually older than everybody else in the movie that plays like the teenager. He's the oldest out of the cast. He's actually 23 when they filmed this. Babyface, huh?
Good for him.
Yeah, because William Zabka is 4 years younger and Elizabeth Shue's 2 years younger. Good for him, looking like a 15-year-old kid when he's 23. I bet he had a hard time at the bar. Like, this has to be a fake. Come on.
I feel like he still has a hard time at the bar.
He still does look really young. If you pull up his IMDb, he looks like he's maybe 37. And he's like in his 50s and 60s now. It's crazy. But that should bode well for the TV show they have coming up, though. They don't have to worry about him like looking too old. Not going to happen with that guy. Let's jump into some box office numbers here. So The Karate Kid was released to theaters on June 22nd, 1984. The film was distributed by Columbia Pictures with a runtime of 127 minutes and a production budget of $8 million. The film was released to 931 screens on opening weekend, and they debuted number 5 at the box office with a $5 million opening weekend. Week 2, they dropped to number 7 and grossed $4.5 million over the weekend, bringing the 10-day total to $12.4 million. So they've already recouped their budget and made an extra $4 million on top of it. JD, better than you thought or worse?
I'm always thrown off when we get these comparative numbers from movies from, you know, the mid-80s, where it opens on 900 screens, which is a good amount of screens. It's not like, you know, a pitiful amount.
200 and, like last week.
You're right. And then to hear like such like an amazing, well-known, like, I mean, it was a little before our time, but it was well received, and we'll get into that soon. And for it to have not done astounding, like, again, every movie that currently comes out is the new box office record breaker. And it's just like, how long will that trend go?
So what do you think happens next? Do you think the film sputters out, spends a couple more weeks, or do we think we have a schoolyard effect?
It has to catch fire.
Okay. I can confirm that. So The Karate Kid would jump back up to the number 4 spot in week number 3 and had their best weekend at the box office yet with $5.3 million. The Karate Kid would stay in the top 7 for 15 weeks. And in total, they spent 18 weeks in theater. So the total domestic gross for the film was $90,815,558 domestically. They did not have any international numbers for this movie. JD, what are your thoughts on the box office numbers here?
I'm glad to hear that it picked up so much fire and ended really well, because that makes so much sense to why it's such a classic movie that, much like Daniel LaRusso, it didn't give up, and it crane kicked the competition.
No, it did great. I mean, 15 weeks in the top 7? That's incredible. So I can see why they greenlit the sequel so quickly and bumped up and beefed up the budget. Let's take a look at the top 10 movies for the weekend of June 22nd, 1984. This is probably going to sound pretty familiar because we covered one of the movies pretty recent that had come out just like a week or two before. But number 1 at the box office that week was Ghostbusters in week 3, also a Columbia Pictures film. So they had both Ghostbusters and Karate Kid, both smash hits at the same time. Somebody got a raise at Columbia. Number 2 was Gremlins, which we covered just about 5 or 6 episodes back. Number 3, Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom. Number 4, Rhinestone. Number 5, The Karate Kid. 6, Star Trek III, The Search for Spock. Number 7, Top Secret. Number 8, The Natural. Number 9, The Pope of Greenwich Village. And number 10, Beat Street. So, obviously, I can't wait for us to do Ghostbusters in a future episode. That's going to be amazing. And again, you can go back to our archives and listen to Gremlins right now. We have that up. But JD, any other notable films in here that you might want to review in the future?
Well, obviously, Indiana Jones will be a future episode as well. But my gosh, that's a smash hit weekend.
Yeah, a lot of good choices there.
Do you have the box office numbers for what number 1 and 2 and 3 did that opening weekend in comparison to Karate Kid?
Yeah, give me a sec. Yeah, I do have those numbers. So Ghostbusters made $13 million. Gremlins did $11 million. Indiana Jones did $7 million. And Rhinestone did $5 million. And then Karate Kid did $5 million. And Search for Spock also did about $5 million, too. So, yeah, there's definitely a lot of people going to the theaters. That's for sure. Were you going to add something, or you just wanted to know those numbers?
I was just curious to how how much better the other films did, if there was like a big, you know, discrepancy between what number one was, and then it like chewed up all the box office and there just was no seats left or nobody left to go see Karate Kid. You know, everyone's busy seeing something else.
Yeah. And, you know, one of the things that's so different about that time is, you know, one, it's 1984. So the cost of tickets are way less. You know, $5 million is probably more like $15 million these days. Also, just the amount of theaters, there weren't as many. Nowadays, a movie gets released and it's, you know, 3,500, 4,000 theaters. You know, Ghostbusters was number one movie that weekend. It had 1,500 theaters. So, I mean, if you times that by two or two and a half, you know, $13 million is now quite a lot of money for a movie in its third week. So, and I know Ghostbusters would go on to gross $295 million worldwide. And then Karate Kid again did over 90. So Columbia had a pretty good 1984, I would say. I don't know how many other movies they released that were big hits that year, but they got two of them that did really well and have lived on literally for 30 years too. Any thoughts on that? Did you realize Columbia, which is basically Sony, was such a huge movie maker in the 1980s?
It makes sense when you look at it in retrospect. You're used to seeing all these logos before the movie started, and so you're familiar with them, but you don't necessarily know what that means until you're older to know that, like, this is just one monstrous production company just squashing everyone.
I mean, they were also part of Sony is also TriStar too. So if you add that in there, I mean, that means they also own the Terminator franchise, which is another huge moneymaker. I mean, your favorite movie of all time, too, Look Who's Talking. I mean, they own that.
Nobody owns Look Who's Talking. It's the people's movie.
You know who would be great in Look Who's Talking is like the dad? They should reboot that with The Rock. If anybody can turn it into the true people's movie, it'd be the people's champ. You smell what I'm cooking?
Oh, you're laying it on thick, jabroni.
Nice. So, you know, one movie I did look up just because I was like, what the heck is Rhinestone? It's a Sylvester Stallone, Dolly Parton comedy film. Did you have any recollection of this movie? Have you ever seen that?
No, that one's definitely outside of my radar.
Hey, quick question. Do you find Dolly Parton attractive?
I really don't. I gotta say, I never understood it.
Boobs too big?
I don't know. I mean, do you find Reba McEntire attractive?
Oh, absolutely.
See, I don't get it. Maybe it's just country women or something. I don't know.
Well, she's just a little fiery redhead. She's cute. Who doesn't like Reba McEntire? You're just not American if you don't like Reba.
Apparently, I'm un-American then.
You're ISIS, dude. Yeah, that's all I had. You know, I'm just trying to put you in an awkward spot, as usual. So there have been 5 Karate Kid films in total. They've made over $600 million at the box office, not counting inflation. Which film do you think has made the most money at the box office out of the franchise?
Is it the newest one?
Would it make you mad if it was?
It would make me a little bit mad, but I wouldn't be so surprised because of inflation and how everything stacks up.
It is the reboot of Karate Kid. This blew me away. I honestly thought that movie like crapped the bed and nobody saw it. Apparently everybody saw it because it made $351 million.
I never saw it.
Kind of takes your breath away a little bit, doesn't it? I mean, that's one hell of a
blumpkin.
Yeah. So it did really well internationally, which I have to probably credit a lot of that to Jackie Chan and almost zero to Jaden Smith. So I would assume that's half of the money. So they did 176 domestically. The rest is all international. So we know the film was a massive success at the box office. It did great, $90 million on an $8 million budget. Let's talk about how the film was received by the critics and audience. And as always, we're going to use Rotten Tomatoes to gauge the response. JD, how do you think the critics received Karate Kid?
I have a feeling that it was pretty well received. I feel like a movie like this gives a lot for critics to respond to positively. It's got a great story. It's an underdog. The music's amazing. The acting is spot on. I want to say 88%.
Okay. Interesting. How about the audience score?
I feel I don't want to say that the audience doesn't come to bat, but I want to say that they probably respond to it because it's, you know, a cult classic. So everybody's got the nostalgia and the memories of it. So I want to say the audience comes in at, I'll say 80%.
Okay. And you don't have Rotten Tomatoes up right now.
No,
can we confirm for the audience?
I do not have Rotten Tomatoes up.
Okay. The critic response was 88%. So for the first time in 27 episodes, you have nailed it right on the nose. And the audience response was 82. So you're pretty darn close.
Hey, hey. I had a feeling about it. I channeled my inner LaRusso.
Nice. Yeah. Great job, man. It's the first time you've came close. First time you've nailed it. That's what she said. Are you surprised at all by the response? I mean, I would assume you're not because that's what you guessed, but...
No, I explained why I guessed the way that I did, and I'm curious to hear what the critics and, you know, if you got any viewer responses from Rotten Tomatoes, what they do say specifically.
Let's be honest, you want to hear from our old pal Rob, don't you?
I feel like Rob's gonna hit us with some good news.
So Robert Ebert gave a pretty awesome review here, four out of four stars, and he said, an exciting, sweet-tempered, heartwarming story with one of the most interesting friendships in a long time. Pretty good review from Robert Ebert, who's, you know, he's batting like 50-50 with us. You know, some stuff he loves, some stuff he craps all over. But yeah, good review from Robert Ebert. Hey, he was still alive when they did the reboot. How do you think he reviewed the reboot?
I want to say that he probably came at it comparatively to the first one and probably still gave props to the friendship between the main characters.
Damn, you're on fire today. Yeah, so he gave that one 3 out of 5 out of 4 stars on the reboot and pretty much said exactly what you just said. Still loves the story, and he even referenced this 84 review as well of what he loved about the original. The other review I have here is giving Pat Morita some praise here, and this came from Variety. And they said, Morita is simply terrific, bringing the appropriate authority and wisdom to the part. What do you think about the review from Variety?
I like that. That hits a lot of what he does as an actor and what Miyagi as a character brings to the screen.
And that's it. You know, we can sit here and go through 100 reviews. There's a ton of them. But, you know, let's jump into some final thoughts here, and then we'll wrap up the podcast. So, JD, before we get into the full episode, which is going to come out on Wednesday, I know you said it's been a long time since you watched the movie. What are you looking forward to most here when we jump into the full review?
I'm definitely looking forward to seeing, you know, reminding myself about how the characters play off against one another. Because if I'm not mistaken, even in the ending, the Cobra Kai dojo respects Daniel for what he's done.
Yeah.
Or at least Zabka does, which is really kind of a cool story arc. And I think that's like the multi-level and layering that they do with the writing of Karate Kid is they give story arcs to everyone. And it isn't just you're the bad guy, you're an asshole, go be doing stupid stuff. Because in all reality, I mean, Zabka is being bullied by Kreese. And we learn later in the trilogy that when we get Terry Silver, that there's another level of, you know, dynamic personalities that creates that sort of hierarchy of character development. And that, you know, as a franchise minus Hilary Swank definitely exists and is present in this movie.
Hating on Hilary Swank.
I do not like Hilary Swank.
What don't you like about her?
Do you remember that episode of The Office where they do the big thing about is she attractive? Is she not attractive?
Oh my gosh,
the whole
yes.
episode is dedicated to
Yeah, I love that episode with Kevin. He's like totally against her, but then he flip-flops at the end.
Yeah, I'm definitely in the part. I just don't like her. So Hilary Swank, I apologize. If you want to come and give me, you know, a chop to the Adam's apple, by all means. Nothing against you personally. It's just against you as a person.
We're going to be back on Wednesday with the full review for Karate Kid. Make sure you subscribe, rate, and review to the podcast. You can also follow us on social media at Back in Time Pod, Twitter, and Instagram. We're on Facebook at facebook.com/backintimepod. And we're also online at backintimepod.wordpress.com. For JD and myself, it's time to climb back into the DeLorean, punch in today's date, and return back to present day. We'll talk to you on Wednesday. See ya.
I'm going to go sweep the leg, if you know what I'm saying.